Thought it was wonderful to see these almonds up there. These almonds that show the strength and the fullness of his resurrection. And this is really what we need.
Dieses ganze Bild der Stiftshütte mit Vorhof, Heiligtum und Allerheiligstem ist ja ein Bild für uns Menschen.
This picture of the tabernacle is really a picture of us as body, soul and spirit. And if we are in the holy place, we see how he saves us in our soul. Wirklich so, wo wir am allermeisten Bedarf an Licht haben, ist in unserer Seele. We need the most light in our soul. In Ephesians 4, that we are darkened in our understanding. We are darkened in our understanding. But this darkness doesn't disappear all at once when we've been saved. But with this light, there is a development, there's progress. And it shows how he darkens, how he enlightens our darkened soul and understanding. And we really have to learn this ministry. Yeah, and really know this ministry at the lampstand. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, we have all been called into this light. We have all been called to serve at this golden lampstand so that personally we would have much light and that we as the church would also shine. And 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, out of darkness, he who commanded light to shine out of darkness is the same one who shines as light in our hearts. That means in the holy place, we need this light for our sanctification. He wants to shine into our hearts, even into the hidden chambers of our hearts. And these lamps have to continue to burn. It's not just when you go there every now and then when you have a decision to make. And where you say, Lord, what should I do? No, this is a regular thing. The verses are written here. The priest had to go twice a day to the golden lampstand to arrange the lamps, to fill it with oil, and to receive this light. It is often very practical for me when I get up in the mornings, for example, regardless of how I've experienced the Lord the day before or how full and I was the day before of the Spirit, even the night before, when I get up again, I realize I need light in my soul. I have to go to the Lord and turn on the light again. And it was a huge help for me in the last few weeks to take this way through the outer court and into the holy place. I did this in my prayer, to take the blood, to take the water, and to serve at the golden lampstand, and to seek him in his word, and to ask him, enlighten my soul, my heart, and not just in the mornings and in the evenings. But the point was that the lampstand should burn 24 hours a day. So that means we should also learn to walk in the light. Ephesians 5 mentions this as well. We are children of light, so walk as children of light. And 1 John 1 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Not just every now and then, light, and then the rest of the day I'm in darkness, and then I have a little light in the evening, and then again darkness. No, we have to learn to walk in the light. And then we have this wonderful fellowship with the triune God. And let's read one verse, and it will lead us also to the golden incense altar. Let's read Exodus 30. 7. Exodus 30, verse 7. Aaron shall burn. This shows how all the services, ministry, and his house belong together. What does it say in the verse? Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it, on the altar. We need this light from the lampstand to also carry out the other services in the holy place. It's impossible to burn incense on the incense altar or to prepare the food on the showbread table when it's dark. At the end, you bump into all the furniture and can't do anything. No, we need the light for the other services in his house. So wonderful to see. So the priest goes in, tends the lamp, and then he goes on and carries out the other services. So praise the Lord. Let us keep and preserve this picture in our heart. And really take this light of the Lord daily.
Amen.
Yeah, we need light from you. We pray that you would give us light concerning the wonderful services in the holy place, that we would treasure these, and that we would enter into all the reality. Lord, for this we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We pray that you would guide us as our high priest. Amen. Let us continue with a further precious service. This is the service at the incense altar. Before we go into details about this, I want to read a few verses. First, from Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. Amen. Revelation 8, 1 to 5. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound. It's very impressive here to see that the service, the ministry at the incense altar is not something that's from the Old Testament, and this is something we hear often that it's past, not relevant for us today anymore. No, but it's mentioned in Revelation. That means it's very current for us, this ministry at the incense altar, and it's very important for God. And in these days, we see that many things are coming to maturity and are ripening now in our age. We see that the measure of many things are becoming full, that unrighteousness is really taking the upper hand, that immorality is all over the place. And we also see that the measure is full in politics, that the word of God will soon be completely fulfilled. Everything that is stated in Revelation is soon to be fulfilled. In Luke 21, the Lord says that at the end, nations will be without a council, and they will be fearful of all the things that will come upon the entire earth. And now, very currently, in our current situation, it fully corresponds to what is said in Luke 21. Through this virus, we are experiencing something so unique in this whole world. It really affects every single country in this world. It really relates to all the inhabitants of the earth and affects them. That shows that people are without counsel and they are in fear of all the things that will come upon the inhabitants of the earth. What does this show us? This shows us that we are shortly before the coming of the Lord. And we, in order to hasten the coming of the Lord, we need to carry out the ministry at the incense altar. And what we read in Revelation 8 says that the bowls were filled with the prayer of the saints. So this service at the incense altar, the prayers of the saints, namely, are necessary to fulfill these bowls so that the Lord can come back. So we need to really treasure the service at the incense altar. And this is a very special ministry. And if we want to learn this ministry, then we need to set our sight and our eyes upon the high priest, because he's the only one who is capable of teaching us this ministry. Actually, this is valid for every ministry, for everything that happens in the tabernacle. We need the guidance and the leading of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without his instructions and his leadings, we cannot do anything to please God. Everything that we do for God, without our being led by Christ or instructed by Christ, is worthless for God. And we will even be judged for what we have done. And this applies especially for the service and the ministry at the incense altar, because it is very holy to God. And if we look at the high priest, we see that the Lord himself had this burden on his heart through the prayer that he prayed in John 17. Lars is here. In Vers, nee, man muss ab vom Anfang. Ich mache mal selber auf die Verse. Moment. 17. Okay.
Also. Zum Beispiel betet der Herr in Vers 4, sagt, ich habe dich verherrlicht.
Verse 4, it says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Here you see that the incense that he brought to God had much to do with the glory of God. The glory of the Father was the desire of the high priest of our Lord. He wanted the Father to be glorified. Amen. He intercedes also for us. This is an important aspect of the high priest. You see this also in the priestly garments. There's the breastplate with the 12 precious stones, and on the shoulders he had the stones that were engraved with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in John 17, he says he prays for them and not for the world. And he said, I sanctify them for yourself. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This was such a prayer of a high priest that he prayed here. If you have this desire to bring this incense before God, ask the Lord then not to just read this verse, these verses, but ask him that we can also pray in such a way and bring God this incense. And this service at the incense altar is also a service in the most holy place.
Oder kann jemand sonst einfach... Bekommen. Du kannst es jetzt machen. Alles klar, dann mache ich es mal. Also, Bildschirm. Ich habe noch mal das Bild, was wir schon einmal gesehen haben vom Heiligtum. Ich hoffe, man kann es sehen. An dem Bild hier.
Was here, in this picture.
Ist das Besondere am Räucheraltar ist, der steht direkt vor dem Vorhang.
The special thing about the incense altar is that it stands right before the veil to the most holy place. So it shows that it's the most important ministry before God. Because what comes right after this golden incense altar is this Ark of Testimony, is the throne of God. So this service is a service before the throne of God. And everything that is here in the holy place, everything is made out of gold. And everything that we see here shows the glory of God, shows the holiness of God. And even this incense altar, inside it's acacia wood, but it's overlaid with gold. But with the golden incense altar, the incense altar that was in Solomon's temple says, or how is it described? The gold that was used for the incense altar was refined gold. This is only mentioned at the incense altar, that this gold was pure, it was refined, most refined. This shows how precious, how holy and how important this ministry is at the incense altar. All the utensils, though, for the incense altar were made out of pure gold. And the Lord has to give us an impression for this. We have to get an impression and even an awe of this. If we are in the presence of God, we cannot be negligent. We cannot just do whatever we want to do. Everything that Aaron was supposed to do in the holy place was described very exactly by the Lord and prescribed by him in an exact way, and he had to do it exactly as such. And if Aaron didn't do it in such a way, then Aaron would have died, just like Nadab and Abihu. The presence of God has to be something very special for us. Of course, there are ministries outside of the holy place. There are precious priestly service outside of the holy place. But these services, these ministries, are not directly in the presence of God. All the service outside in the outer court, for example, has to do with a lot of people or with people. It's very much a ministry in front of people or with related to people. But the ministry at the incense altar has to do with the presence of God directly. It is not seeking honor from men or to be seen by men, but it is a desire for God that you stand alone before God. And we need such a desire for this intimate fellowship with God so that we can serve him at the incense altar. The prayer at the incense altar is not prayer with many words or memorized phrases. You shouldn't pray as the nations do. He mentions the Pharisees as well. They prayed before men. They had long prayers and stood at the corners of the streets so that they could be seen by all people as to how they pray, because they wanted to appear pious. But in front of the incense altar, you're standing only before God. It is only for the enjoyment of the Father. It is only about Him, His being satisfied. In Exodus, He even warns us that no one should keep such incense or make such incense for himself. But unfortunately, often our prayers are so self-centered. It's about ourselves, mine and I, and all these words come up and the focus comes up, and we're missing the components of this incense. And we shouldn't pray with an attitude to be proud before God, like the Pharisees that were mentioned in Luke 8 that went up to the temple and said, he prayed, but he prayed by himself, and he said, I fast a lot and I give so much charity to other people. But self-praise stinks. It's not a sweet-smelling aroma for God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for our burdens. Actually, quite the opposite. The Lord even said that we should pray all the time and everywhere. You can pray in the outer court. You can pray everywhere, and we should do it. It is desired even by the Lord. We see this also multiple times in the Word, that we are encouraged to pray. Even in Philippians 4, he said, yeah, bring all your burdens to me with your supplications and your prayers. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So why do we need this? So that our heart is free. Yeah. If we make our prayers known before Him and the personal burdens that occupy us, and we make them known before Him, then we experience how He frees us from this burden. We give Him this burden. We surrender it to Him. Like when we speak with other people, we feel a little bit of relief, because what burdens us is a little bit lighter, but it only goes away completely when we cast all our burden upon Him, cast all our cares upon Him. Then our hearts are free for His burden. Then our hearts are free for the ministry at the incense altar, and then we pray for the things that are on God's heart. And then He can write His burden on our heart and put it on our hearts. We have also seen that in the holy place, outside everything was overlaid with copper, which shows the judgment that we have to experience before we can even enter into the holy place. Yourself doesn't enter in anymore into the holy place. Your flesh doesn't belong there, because it was already judged and terminated at the burnt offering altar, at the cross. So God also tests the attitude of our hearts. That's what He means by saying we shouldn't bring any strange fire there, because He sees what kind of attitude we have in our hearts. So we have to let our hearts be dealt with, be cleansed by the Lord. Just like with Nadab and Abihu. They brought incense. They brought fire from somewhere else, most likely not from the burnt offering altar. They didn't follow what the Lord prescribed. And they even carried out the service independent of Aaron, their father, without his authority, without his instructions. There's rebellion there. There's pride. That's how they brought the incense to God. And God judged them severely. They were burnt up. There's another example of King Uzziah. We see this in 2 Chronicles. King Uzziah, he was successful in everything that he did, and God gave him success in everything. And then his heart was lifted up, and he was proud. And with this pride, he went into the holy place and wanted to bring incense himself, even though he knew that this ministry at the incense altar was something that only the priests could do. This shows his attitude for God. We cannot have this attitude before God. With this attitude, we cannot carry out this ministry at the incense altar. So, at the outer court, we need the experience of all the utensils and furnishing of the burnt offering altar, of the judgment of the Lord at the burnt offering altar. We need the experience of him crucifying our old man, or being crucified with him.
So, was ich noch an diesem Heiligtumbild schätze, ist,
what I appreciate about the holy place, is that everything shows the holiness of God. We're talking a lot about sanctification, and this is the burden that he gives us today because we want to reach the goal. He wants us to perfect holiness. And for me, when I saw this picture of the holy place, I had a deep impression of what holiness means. If you don't enter into the holy place, it's hard to understand what holy means. But if we come into the presence of God, then we will gain a deep impression of what God's holiness is, what his glory is. And if we see this and gain this impression, then the contrast will be so, we'll be so aware of the contrast to the things outside, the unholy things, the things that happen in the world. And the contrast in our lives, we will be made more aware of it. And we will have more of an awareness of this holy God. And once we are more conscious of this contrast, then the burden of God comes to our heart. Then we learn to pray as the Lord taught us. In Matthew 6, as the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, the Lord says, pray in such a way, Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now we understand why the first thing he prayed was that the name of the Father should be hallowed. Because here we see that his holiness and glory was expressed. And if we see this contrast, then it'll become our prayer. Then from our heart, we will really pray, Father, your name be hallowed. We will receive God's burden on our hearts. And his desire is that his glory would fill the entire earth. In Romans 3, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I would have just said, all have sinned. But because he saw the glory and the holiness of God, he said, and all men fall short of the glory of God. And when this falling short, we are conscious of this, then we will learn to do the will of God. Then his burden will be laid on our hearts, and then we will pray in such a way that it is as incense that ascends to God. Because we're not praying for our own burdens, but for his. This is in what we see in all the prayers of Paul. In all the epistles, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, he prays the prayer of a high priest. He prays for the things that are on God's heart. Because if we stand before the throne and we stand before the incense altar, in the New Covenant, the veil is not even there anymore. You stand right before the throne because the veil has been rent. Has been torn, and then we stand before the presence of God. And we're not that far from the Lord. So if you want to know what is on God's heart, what moves him, what's on his heart, then you have to carry out this ministry at the incense altar, because then you are really close to his heart. And the Lord was just like this. He was like this high priest that had the breastplate with all the 12 stones on him. He had the heavenly Jerusalem on his heart because this was also on God's heart. He had the entire people on his heart. And he also had it on his shoulders. That means he carries everything. And this shows that the Lord has all the saints on his heart. This shows his love. But on the other hand, you see the judgment he has to carry out on this earth. If you're so close to his heart, then his heart's desire becomes your heart's desire. And I thought it was good what we saw before. In the holy place, you don't have any light from outside. You only have the light from the golden lampstand. And this light of the Lord, you gain light concerning his burden, concerning what's on his heart. Your prayer becomes a prayer that corresponds to his up-to-date will and desire. It's not the prayer that we've prayed for the last 10 years. But in the light of the golden lantern, God shows us what needs to be prayed for in the current situation. Like now, many Christians pray for the virus, pray to say, stop the virus, help the economy. Maybe it's understandable out of human eyes, but not in the light of the lampstand, not according to the God's heart. Look at what this virus has changed. People are home. They can no longer go out. They can no longer worship their idols. There's the soccer god, is soccer idol is gone. There's no vacation anymore. I could not speak to anybody about the Lord at work. The only thing my colleagues talked about was vacation. And now there's no vacation anymore. The Lord has gotten rid of all the idols. What a wonderful effect that people are home, that they can consider and contemplate. Isn't there more than just my idols? That they start to seek after God. If we stand before the Lord in such a way, he will show us his burden. Yeah, we will be concerned with his business. And we will see what this virus can affect and what it can do. Somewhere in South America, there are the most crimes committed per year. And through this virus, they had the lowest crime rate ever. They can't go out of their houses to kill one another. The Lord doesn't do anything out of coincidence. My own brother, he wasn't open for the second coming of the Lord. And he even said, please don't talk to me about it. Don't make me afraid. I want to enjoy my life here. And he called me because he had the virus himself. He was a completely different person. He was humble. And he repented before the Lord. You saw that it worked something in his heart. What do I want to say by this? If we want to learn the ministry of the incense altar, then the Lord will open his eyes, our eyes, for that which he wants to do. It's about his plan. It's about his purpose. And then we will pray, Lord, use all that is happening to hasten your return. And then, as Paul prayed in all the epistles, then the people of God will be on our heart. Then we will have a real burden that the eyes of the people would be enlightened. And that's why this service at the incense altar is so important. And I'm certain when we bring this before the Lord, we will make progress. And sometimes in the prayer meeting in Haiphong, we pray for various burdens. We jump from one to another. And sometimes I realize it's not very goal-oriented. And sometimes I feel like Paul in Romans 8, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. It says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this opened my eyes anew these days to see, Lord, thank you. The Spirit teaches me to pray. This incense was done according to someone who really knew how to make the incense. And who is the one who does it today? It's the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, because we have received the Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit can teach us all things to prepare this incense. He is the one who teaches us. And if we cooperate with him and say, Lord, renew my prayer. Oh, teach me this service at the incense altar. If we have this desire and longing, surely the Holy Spirit will teach us to bring incense that is well-pleasing to God. Because he knows the composition of the incense. He knows how much of which ingredient should come into the incense. What was in the incense? The sweet spices, stacte, onycha, and galbanum. The verses are in Exodus 30, 34, and 35. Yeah. Verse 34 says, sweet spices, stacte, onycha, and galbanum, frankincense, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and whole. It's full of frankincense, or the power of his resurrection. That's why it's so important to pray in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can teach us.
Es sind alles, was wir sehen, diese Bestandteile.
And the frankincense that we need are very intensive spices. They have a very intense smell. If you look in your spice rack, you don't have lots of kilograms of spices. You have only small portions of these spices. We have peppermint oil, and you just need one little drop, and there's a very strong, intense smell that comes from it. That shows our prayer has to be so concentrated, so goal-oriented, so that it is pleasing to the Father. So that he would really treasure and appreciate this incense, and he would like to smell it. That's why the incense altar is so small. The burnt offering altar is a lot bigger, but you only need a small incense altar. Why? Because a little bit of it is sufficient to bring forth a very strong smell. I hope that we all have gained such an impression of this privilege to be able to serve at the incense altar and to have the desire to really serve at the incense altar, because this really has to do with the fulfillment of this age. Can you imagine if all the saints who are here in this meeting, if we carry out this service, can you imagine what kind of incense would rise to the Father? What sweet-smelling incense would rise to him? Then I would be certain that he cannot just sit at his throne and wait. But there will be thunderings, lightnings. I'm sure that if we fill the bowls with this incense, then the end of this age will come. The Lord also used certain disciples to start the age of grace of the church as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. The disciples there were in one accord and prayed together, and there was shaking. And this is when the work started for the Lord. So with the prayer of all the saints, all the way up until today, that have been gathered before God, and this incense was gathered, if we still add this last piece, then the Lord can end this age, and he can come and really bring his kingdom here on earth. And let us learn to pray in such a way with the intent also to pursue holiness. Lord, teach us to have such a prayer. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you. You teach us to pray in such a way that is well-pleasing to the Father. Teach us also through the Holy Spirit. Sanctify us that we also would not bring any strange fire, that we would be cleansed, sanctified, and pray what God the Father's will is.
Amen. Ja, Herr, wir danken dir für so ein Wort.
Lord, we thank you for such a word. And we pray and praise you for the ministry at the incense altar, that we can be close to the God's heart's desire, that we can understand his current burden and bring it before you. We pray that we will all learn to really take this service seriously. We pray that you would really gain faithful priests, holy priests that can really release your
burden. Ja, lieber Vater, und wir bitten dich auch, dass du uns...
I am very encouraged by the whole picture of the tabernacle, because it really makes us free. to serve the Lord in a well-pleasing way. I have really recognized that in myself, I have no peace. Even if I want to do something good, it always ends up with no peace, just as Christian mentioned before. From ourselves, in our own righteousness, it's really falls short. And we really need the Lord. And the picture of the tabernacle, my heart is really encouraged by seeing it. Because the Lord has given us a way. And it is His work. And the Lord gives us such boldness. He is so inviting for us. Because it already begins with the door. It's a door through which we can enter in. Of course, it requires us to overcome, and we have to pay a price. But through this, we can enter in more. But we have to pay a price to enter in through the door. But it is a small price. And you have to just overcome to pay the price. And then the Lord really makes you free. And I've seen that we have to see the whole picture of the tabernacle, because it shows us how all-inclusive but also balanced our Lord is. And it really contains everything that we need for the building of the church. And it shows us how we can be perfected and not out of ourselves. The Lord has given us everything. It's not your own righteousness that you bring at the burnt offering altar, but it is Christ. And it really encouraged me to see the whole picture of the tabernacle and to go into the holy place. The Lord has to wash you in the washing of the word, unite light from the Lord. As it says in Ephesians, awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And this really made me so free that it is Christ that enlightens us, that gives us light. And this ministry at the incense altar is 1 cubit wide and long and 2 cubits high. And it is overlaid with gold. And also this incense that we bring, its characteristic is that it is pure, holy, and salted. Out of ourselves, we don't have this prayer. If I pray out of myself, it is completely opposite from pure, holy, and salted. But through the Lord, through the work of this perfumer, it is Christ in us. It is the Spirit in us, this anointing in me, that can bring this sweet-smelling incense to God the Father. And this really made me so free. I don't have it in myself. Everything out of myself is really a filthy garment before God. And it is good to recognize this. But we have this Christ who teaches us. And He gives me such boldness when I look unto Him and I see His whole work. Then I see it's such a joy. It's such a joy to serve the living God. It's not a burden or such a duty that I don't want to do. There are a lot of things at home that I don't like to do, like cleaning out the basement or certain things that are difficult. But the Lord really gives us joy to serve the living God. May He really enlighten us and give us this boldness, because often we feel death and then there's no more boldness. But like the priests, they had to put on the priestly garments again every day. And every morning we should forget what is behind and reach forward to the things to the Lord and give me this composition of the incense. And then, hallelujah, this picture of the priesthood is so fresh and so living that we can experience it every day. Amen. Yeah, we need this daily experience. We don't know what we pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is one of the most important burden that we have at this incense altar, that the Spirit would tell us and show us to make intercession for the saints. At the incense altar, the Lord wants prayers that strengthen His purpose and His plan, that the work that He has begun in Christ would be brought to perfection, and that the moving of the Spirit would encourage each one of us. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our prayer is indeed a prayer that we can learn to pray at this incense altar according to the will of God. It is really important for us to recognize what the Lord wants to do. And it is something very different from that which the people in the world and in religion have as a concept. Praise the Lord for this light. We had a lot of fellowship about the golden lampstand, the golden incense altar before. But the light that He gives us in these days, it is unbelievable. It is incomparable to the, or cannot be compared to the things that we have seen before. I really thank Him from my whole heart. I praise Him that He brings us into this all-inclusive light, because He can enlighten us in a way to really also encourage us. For the work of the Lord, that is so, exciting even, so that we can bring this incense before the throne of God, that our common prayer can work so much and affect so much on this earth, so that He can really perfect His work on this earth. Show us how we can make these bowls full. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Also ein gutes Vorbild für das Gebet am Räucher.
So it is a good example. Die Gebete von Paulus. For the prayer at the incense altar are the prayers of Paul in the epistles.
Und daher haben wir, glaube ich, auch der Gliederung ein paar von diesen Stellen.
So we also have some of these on the outline, like Ephesians 1. It is really a prayer of incense. Like in verse 16, Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to thank the Lord for you all, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Yeah, this was what he was focused on, that the saints would keep knowing Christ more. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He doesn't pray just for the practical burdens of the saints. He prays much more that they would gain Christ, that the purpose of God would be fulfilled, Yeah, that they would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. I don't know if we have such a prayer for the saints from our hearts. Have we let such incense ascend to the Father? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? We pray, Lord, strengthen the saints in their sickness. But the words that Paul used show the ingredients or the composition of the incense. All these spices were in there. He even thinks about the ascension and the resurrection of Christ, that Christ is sitting on the throne, that he is above all power and principality. This prayer is not so, doesn't have a small view, but look at the dealing he had with God's purpose in this prayer. And then he said, not just in this age, but in that which is to come. He had such a view. In verse 22 in Ephesians 1, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Do we have this type of prayer meeting? Such prayers are really wonderful. And also in Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He doesn't pray just only for the outward needs of the families, but he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. He had in view the golden incense altar. Yeah, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. He had such a burden that inner man would be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of the tabernacle, for example. And this encourages me to see these prayers, to see what he brought on this altar in front of the throne of God. And in Philippians 1 also shows a very strong prayer. In verse 9, and it says, and at this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Have you prayed like this for the saints before? When I pray for George, I say, strengthen him, strengthen his family, that he remains encouraged. But here it says, pray that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. And that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. This is such an example of the incense that rises to the Father. So I'm encouraged by the verses of Paul to take them as an example for us, how he served him before the throne. We can't read everything, but in Colossians 1:3, I thank my God, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, pray always for you. And then you can read the rest, how he intercedes for the saints. And verse 9, it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask what? To ask for what? That we are a little bit encouraged so that we can make it through the day? No, it says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Johnny, betest du so?
Brother, do you pray in such a way?
Also ich habe hierfür sehr viel zu lernen.
Well, I really have to learn a lot to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. If our prayer, personal prayers, and our prayer meeting would be filled with such words and such prayers, then I think, as the brother said, there will be a huge consequence and effect of our prayer, and He would be able to pour out this prayer onto the earth, and the earth will be shaken, and that God can continue with His plan. So these are practical examples of how the ministry at the incense altar can look like. You can take John 17, for example, as well. But also the prayers of the apostles, how they gained the vision from the golden lampstand and how they implemented it in their prayers. In their prayers, it reflects what they have already seen. And this type of prayer is so well-pleasing for God.
Der Unreinheit und der Gesetzlosigkeit gestellt habt, zur Gesetzlosigkeit, so stellt jetzt eure Glieder den Dienst der Gerechtigkeit zur Hand.
Now you should present yourselves as servants of righteousness to holiness.
Machen zu dürfen, Herr, hilf uns,
help us, Lord, to work out this holiness in us. Amen.
War in Römer 6, Vers.
That was Romans 6:19. Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Amen.
Amen. Herr, wir loben dich.
Lord, we praise you. Lord, work such prayer in us. We want to make ourselves so one with you and your purpose and your will. Lord, we want to be those who can be used for the purpose of God. Lord, we want to bring your purpose onward. Save us from prayers that don't affect any change in your plan or anything in your plan. Give us such a focus every time we come together that these prayers should ascend before you. We want to really see an ascension in each one of us to go upwards in how we are focused. We want to see that it affects something, but it changes something. Or we want to see that you really come back soon. Lord, we pray that you would bring us into the full experience of the tabernacle. We pray for all the saints. We praise you for this.
Isa, hörst du mich?
Ja.
Ich lese noch Judas 1, Vers 20. Ihr aber, Geliebte,
Jude 1:20. Amen. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Die Frage ist jetzt noch, gibt es auch heute Nachmittag wieder eine Gemeinschaft oder ist das heute nicht geplant? Ich weiß nicht, gibt es Bedarf von den Heiligen, noch nachmittags ein paar Mitteilungen zu haben oder Gemeinschaft?